Watch him throw the ball, we gon' pick it off. You gon' let him hit the hole or you gon' cut it off. You gon' play through fourth and long or you gon' punt it off. Your defenders, heavy hitters, put your pads in. Don't be looking for the ref to throw no flags in. Keep the helmet on, keep the cleats tight. You the type to want to win by any means, right? You should look alive, this is Trap or Dive.
Yes, sir. Welcome back to another Trap or Dive podcast. Post-game edition. I'm your host, Marley Maul. AJ is loading up. We about to get him on as well. Everybody, I see y'all. Yak DJ out too. Jerry and Magic. Omani. Will A. That's the best formation in football. This is the victory formation, man. Line it up. Washington wins 2017. Let me go ahead and get AJ in. And then we can keep things pushing. Where is the thing? There we go. And boom. All right. There we go. Yes, sir. While we getting on that topic, Hawk shit, make sure y'all like, subscribe, all that good stuff. We definitely appreciate it. If you're on the Twitter side or Twitch side, if you want to call into the show, the link is in the description on the YouTube side. You can go ahead and visit that. You'll find it on my Twitter profile. Or just go to Trap or Dive YouTube and you'll see the link in there. Call up and we'll get you in as the show moves along. But yeah. AJ's in here, man. AJ, man, how you feeling, big dog? How's the day been? How the game go for you? Your overall thoughts on everything that you just saw? You smirking for? You smirking already? Something happened, bro?
Oh, no. I'm looking at another game on TV, just laughing at a play. But
nah, you good.
I mean, it was a game. Boring. But, you know, at the end of the day, they pulled off the W. I don't know what the Patriots are offensively, very confusing, but I mean, they ended up winning the game. Like I said, I was a little bit bored watching it, but at the end of the day, you know, they got the dub, and I guess we'll break down different dynamics of the game.
Yeah. But honestly, bro, like from a conversation standpoint, that's what I mean. When you say, not literally you, but when the question is asked, like, when is the next game that Washington wins, bro? Like, you're not going to be able to, like, literally call it, but you know they're going to win one of these games. And I think the Patriots game, as the actual game was transpiring, you noticed that while you knew that the Patriots defense was very good at doing some things, like the talent gap wasn't there in terms of or in favor of them in this matchup with Washington. Howell did get sacked 3 times. But outside of that, like, it was still like, even outside of those 3 sacks, he had a relatively clean day throwing the football. They was able to move. I think this is 430 yards of offense on the day. Dominated the time of possession, at least in the first half. It's 37-22, so still relatively in there. I mean, pretty much in their favor. And like 124 yards on the day on the ground, 308 net passing yards, but I think Howell had 325 on the day as well. Like they had a lot that the talent got was in favor of Washington on that side of the ball. And then you see the other side as well, like outside of what a couple splash plays and really turnovers that put New England in position to even score some points, a turnover and then one big play, what like that two play drive that went for 84 yards. That's really all of New England scoring on the day. So, like, the talent gap, man, it was in favor of Washington. It showed itself throughout the day. And even when they went down 14-10, it was just a matter of, like, this game is still clearly in their hands so long as they play a clean game in the second half. And they pretty much did that.
Yeah, I mean, the Patriots offense is just inept. Like, there's no real playmakers on that side of the ball. Yeah, they were able to score in the running game, but damn, like they had some deep shots downfield to Rager, which is interesting. I don't know. Tyquan Thornton is their burner. So I'm not quite sure why they use Rager in that. I mean, he's fast too, but I feel like Thornton is way faster. Yeah, I feel like if this Washington defense had played a better Mac Jones or of some sorts, definitely would have seen the defense get exposed even more because there was legit no pressure. So all that Casey Tuhill, James Smith Williams shit that people been talking, y'all can go ahead, kill all that. But I mean, this is the new defensive front that as fans we should get accustomed to. They were mediocre as far as defense overall and getting home to the quarterback. You know, fortunately, guys like Quan Martin were able to get a game sealing interception. Funny how that works, right? All of a sudden now you're playing these guys with more snaps because it seems like you're forced to in a sense. And some of these guys are making impactful plays. Emmanuel Forbes had a good day, which is why it's puzzling. Like, what is the strategy behind Emmanuel Forbes? Because I really do not understand it.
Well, I mean, honestly, like if he couldn't play today, then that was going to be a problem. They didn't have like we all but said it. I was being generous. You just flat out said it, but the Patriots have nobody on offense that's going to threaten anybody. So it would be a perfect time to play Quan and Emmanuel Forbes. I don't know how many snaps Quan played, but I mean, from first quarter up until fourth quarter, I saw Forbes have a lot of snaps. So it'd be interesting to see how many Quan played. Obviously, right time, right place for him defensively to get that pick at the end. And dude flat out dropped it. Who was that, Juju? Either way, right place, right time. You capitalize on him dropping a pass. Good coverage by Kendall too. Like you right on his hip. But to your point though, like Forbes is going up against basically a C-class roster at wide receiver. Like he's going to get burned today out of all weeks, and he did his thing.
Yeah, I mean, and I think Eric Bieniemy called up a solid game plan that really was balanced if you really look at it from an overall standpoint. My bad, I'm getting like thrown off by this ending of this Bucks and Texans game.
I'm looking at that right now.
I had seen CJ Stroud dotted up for a touchdown in the end zone, just the composure and the pass that he made. But yeah, back to the Patriots and Commanders game. But Eric Bieniemy called a good game that, you know, helped to balance the attack. Whether they were gaining rushing yards or not, it still allowed Sam Howell to be a bit more comfortable in the defense to be off put by what was coming next. They couldn't necessarily sit back and just plan for the passing game. They also had to be held accountable for what could possibly come in the running game. But overall, man, it was just a boring ass game. If we weren't doing a Trap or Dive episode, I would have turned off the game. I hate seeing the Patriots play in general. But, yeah, I mean, that's pretty much what it was. I will say that Sam Howell, you know.
Let's start from the top then. Because we ain't about to just wrap it up right now. Let's go ahead and start with the offense.
I was about to get to the part, you know, most people probably – want to hear about that interception in the end zone. I wanted to ask you, what the hell did he see there?
Let's start from the top. That was second quarter, right? Like overall, man, it was a pretty solid day from Sam and just the offense generally. I think you mentioned like Brian Robinson and Antonio Gibson. I think he only had six carries, Antonio Gibson did, but it was probably one of his most efficient days on offense altogether. I think he had close to 90 yards of total offense from passing and receiving. He was, I think, five for five on his targets and then six carries, 34 yards. But, like, he had some really impactful runs for Washington. But to your point in terms of opening up things for Sam and just having the protection in order up front, three sacks on the day today. But overall, like, the last 2 weeks been really clean for him, and he's been looking real comfortable in terms of what he's able to do from the pocket and even being patient from – stepping up and making throws or if he has to use his legs, like having the wherewithal to like do that. I think from McLaurin to Jahan, and even Byron Pringle, right, who's had opportunities since he's been getting snaps. I mean, even Jameson Crowder to that extent. But, like, I that group right there is finding ways to get things done over these past couple of weeks. And for us in terms of watching this offense, they're finally able to actually connect on a deep ball. I think Jahan had a 33-yard touchdown that went for something for this offense for a quarterback who is known to have the deep ball, right, in his repertoire. And, like, for all of the other reasons or all of the reasons why they couldn't connect on anything throughout this season, they finally get one on the board for Washington. It goes to the guy who was apparently some shit and nobody really thinks is good.
They still think he's some shit. Like,
of course.
I mean, you say, let's go to the top. So, like, the first drive when supposedly he drops the ball, I mean, everyone's going to say, oh, he should catch it just because his hand got on it. But realistically, the ball should be in front of him so that he could catch the ball and turn up field.
Walk the play for me, because I came in. I was coming in from a flag football game, so I missed the first drive on Patriots and on the Washington side. I just heard he dropped it.
So it was Washington's first drive of the game offensively, and pretty much it was a crosser route. Jahan was screaming across the line of scrimmage in front of Sam Howell. Sam Howell threw the ball behind Jahan, and he had to adjust and go behind him to try to catch it, whereas he had space. He had a lot of space to get the first down and make the catch and turn up field if the ball was put in front of him. So you see the comments on Twitter or whatever, people saying, oh, Jahan Dotson is back to him, same self this year, dropping the ball.
They did that again.
He's some shit, whatever. Like, he should have caught that. And I'm like, can y'all click? And they showed a great replay for the TV folks. Like, they showed a great replay that the ball was clearly behind him. Yeah, his hand got on the ball, but it's a hard adjustment to do when you're crossing the field and thinking that the quarterback is going to lead you to the sideline so you can turn up field. It's a hard pass to catch. Like, so I just felt kind of bad for that, like, with people keep trying to, like, go after Jahan Dotson. I'm not sitting here saying he's an all-pro or whatever, but Sam also has to be held accountable
for objective.
Not the ball in front of him and giving him an opportunity to truly catch the ball upfield and get some rack.
Yeah. And I think when we get back on the Sam conversation, right, like, there's a couple instances where you kind of wonder. I don't think, like, they're true damning negatives when you say, like, the inconsistent terms of, like, the ball placement in some random moments, right? When you're throwing the ball a lot and you're throwing, well, he had 45 passes today. When you're throwing the ball that much, of course, there's going to be some wild ones. I'll take your word for the play. I didn't see it, so it is what it is. But I also saw one later on a sprint out to Jahan where it touched his hand as well and it bounced off it, but it was a ball placed behind him. I know, and then you look at the red zone pass where nobody can really understand what he did except for Sam Howell himself, who I'm sure is going to talk about it after the game. But nobody knows what the hell he was doing there. I think in that aspect, in terms of, like, his growth and maturity, I haven't seen a play like that since the Buffalo game, where the context was different. Like, he was being a little bit arrogant in that scene throw to the tight end in that Buffalo game where he threw it right to the defender. But this one is like, it's a different context, but it's like, what are you doing? Just throw the ball away. And I think those things, you can, if you just have that time or mental, like, alert to just get rid of it and keep a drive alive, that's something as simple, like, as a coaching point throughout the week or an emphasis throughout the week. But those are some moments that do pop up here and there when you think about the cons of Sam. But I think today was a really good sighting in terms of his composure against a defense like Bill Belichick's. Overall, like, it was some really big moments that he had. That 3rd and 18, bro, or 3rd and 19 or something like that, or whatever, 3rd and 20 something, where he picked up 23 or 24. Like, you see that you're 5 yards away from the first down, instead of going out of bounds or sliding, he just goes and gets it. It's some plays that he makes, man, all the time. Every single week where you're like, all right, I'm encouraged by a quarterback like him. But sometimes there's a hesitancy, but overall, like it was a really good day in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a lingering thing for him in his football career, like as far as like the red zone and making decisions like that. So you pinpoint back to the Buffalo game, but even if you go to his first start against the Cowboys last year, same type of thing, throwing in the triple coverage. Like, I really don't know what he's seen there. Like, there's no excuse. Whether you it could have been your first day on the job ever, you just don't make those type of mistakes within the red zone. Like, you have an opportunity to either get 6 or 3, and that could have cost them the game. You know, fortunately for them, they were able to, you know, hold off the Patriots and get that turnover at the end so that the Patriots either couldn't score a touchdown or a game-time field goal. But you can't make those type of mistakes in the red zone. Like, you could cost your team big time. I watched the play several times. I have no clue what was there. But overall, it was a pretty chill day for the most part. I think you said he got sacked 3 or 4 times for the day.
Yeah, he got sacked 3 times, yeah.
Yeah, like I said, I think Eric Bieniemy did a good job of including the run more this game. I would have liked to see Chris Rodriguez get some opportunities within the run game. But overall, man, they did their thing to get the W. That's ultimately what you want. If you're not a part of the crew of them bettering their draft status, you ultimately want them to win. But yeah, I mean, overall, that's my view on the offense.
For sure. Appreciate everybody who's joining in right now. Let's take a pause. Just hit that like button, hit that subscribe button. On the audio side, if you're listening to the podcast replay version of this, make sure you give us a rating and review. We definitely appreciate those. It takes 2 seconds to do that, man, and it's free. So we appreciate y'all showing the support for Trap or Dive, man. Defensively, I'm with you. It was a solid day.
Side question: Is your Fox broadcast like glitching?
Oh, I'm on Red Zone right now while I'm doing the podcast.
You been watching the game today?
Oh, last week, 100%, it was.
Lagging like I got AOL dial-up or something like.
Are you on a streaming service as well?
Nah, I pay for cable, so that's why I'm like, damn, what's good? Like, this joint keep tweaking. I know it ain't my TV.
Yeah, I don't know, bro. Cause that joint was weird last week, bro, and people were going off online. I was going through the same thing. I was pissed. Like, bro, I can't even enjoy the game. Like, just sit down. Amani said it was struggling, and Jerry said his was. He said he got Hulu, but his is fine. Okay. Well, Kenny says he thinks that they have the franchise quarterback. Everybody in the chat has your opinion. What is your opinion? We talked about it. What's today? Sunday.
Kenny's last name Rivera.
You know, Rivera did say post game that Hal led the team to victory. Man, I think that was his first quote. I didn't hear the whole thing, but where is everybody at with that? I'm gonna say Kenny said what he said. I want to ask this question on Tuesday when emotions are simmering down. We'll revisit that.
It's not going to simmer down with this fan base. And then the social media team didn't do any favors by tweeting either yesterday or Friday QB number one. Like,
oh yeah, that was like, right after.
And then Diana Rossini, she puts out her report, she puts out her report like, The building feels comfortable with going forward with Sam Howell. I'm like, come on, man. Don't be posting these vague ass clickbait articles so people can subscribe to The Athletic.
Where are we at? Oh, yeah, defense, bro. First game without Montez and without Chase. The team registers no sacks. It's also a game where I felt like Mac Jones damn near had all day in the pocket. Like, he wasn't really that flustered. Like, there wasn't a lot of time that was shortened while he was back there. KJ Henry did get in for one sack, but it was actually crazy. I was about to tweet out the fact that there was no, like, they had no sacks at that point. Like, literally on that play, I was tweeting out, they had no sacks. And the interior was just absent throughout the day. And he gets his free rush on the edge and gets his sack. BS call, by the way. It was definitely clearly no. That was one of the worst calls you could ever see. And the ref for Fox, Blandino, bro, came in talking about that's what the officials are trying to emphasize. And I'm like, bro, like, emphasize what? Like, he did everything textbook. What are you trying to emphasize and call flags on? And he tried to save face after he said that, because I guess he didn't see the play before he started talking. But point being, first day without Montez and Chase, no sacks registered. I think even John and Deron finished the day both with John finished the day with one tackle. Deron finished the day with two. Those are the people that were supposed to step up. It is one day. It is one game. But this was a really good opportunity for them to even, like, start on the right foot without these guys. And you got nothing from them.
Hey, I mean, they said they want people to do their job and rush as a pack. So that's what they did. They rushed as a pack and got zero. So, hey, go for it. Like, I mean, Mac Jones could have made burritos, quesadillas. He could have made you a Chipotle bowl, whatever, back there. Like, he legit had all day to throw. Like, if he had better wide receivers, he would have ate this defense up. And if he was a better quarterback, too. Like, yeah, I mean, it was insane how much time was there. All they were doing was flushing Tuhill and James Smith-Williams past the quarterback. That's all they did. There wasn't no alternative moves, whatever, but – you know, this is the new day and age, front four. You know, Payne and Allen really had no impact in this game at all. Yeah, the defense is the defense, bro. Like, you know, you want Ben to kind of start turning around to play the ball a bit more in these passing situations. But, yeah, the defense is the defense at this rate. Like, it's not going to get any better. It's not changing.
Hey, Will, I'm about to just – hey, it's the moonshine, man. It's the – what's the favorite moonshine? I don't know. You know what's crazy? I never tried moonshine before, but I'm willing to try it. No, I had it one time, and it's crazy because it wasn't that memorable. I don't remember what it tastes like. Damn. That got me thinking I got to try it again, bro. Ain't that corn liquor? Corn starch liquor or something like that? Corn liquor?
I don't even know.
You don't know? I know Will, somebody got to know in the chat. I think it's corn liquor or something like that.
You and Dre the ones be drinking on the show and stuff. Like,
all right.
I'm actually turning my head, like, where's my bottle of water?
I get it, man. I'm drinking water right now, bro. But
I did have some drinks this weekend, but you know, I don't know.
What you was drinking on?
What was I drinking? I had Casamigos and Don Julio Añejo. Yeah.
AJ, man, a little Casamigos fan, bro.
Tequila.
Everybody love them little Casamigos, man.
Casamigos.
But don't nobody want to drink the Espolón, man. That's the joint that's gonna really get you. That's gonna really get you on your shit, bro.
Nah, that Espolón, bro. I ain't trying to get lit, bro. I'm just trying to vibe out. Get my ass back in the crib safely. That's it.
Smoke your hookah, bro. Did you smoke your hookah this weekend?
I definitely had some hookah. So I went by there's a spot across some, like, park called it used to be just called Lima back in the day. Uh-huh. They reopened like a couple months ago, called Lima Retwist. It was weak as hell in there, but I was just vibing, smoked some hookah, and then I ended up going to park, which kind of the night ended a little weird. Ran into my ex-girlfriend.
you gave her a nice little hug, bro.
Yeah, so it's funny, like, I had at the Lima joint, I ended up talking to this one girl and she ended up coming with me to park. So we're leaving, and as we're leaving, my ex happens to be right by the door, the exit. So I just play cordial, give her a hug, but she says, like, the most out of pocket thing to me. Like, in a sexual way. I'm not going to repeat on here.
Oh, she was drunk.
Like, whoa, like, and the new girl heard it. So then we get outside. She's like, "What was all of that about?" Like, yeah, like it really had me like. You know, it really kind of turned my mood around.
Well, all I'm saying is, if that's the girl, if that's the voice of the girl that you've been dealing with, bro. Hey,
nah, I just met her that night. Hey, it is.
Nah, I know. She need to mind her business. That's what she need to do.
It'd be the black girls with the they too good. What is it? Goody two shoe.
Little bougie, bro. That's it, bro. Yeah. Little bougie, bro. Hey, little you bougie know, Jones, man. That's all it is, bro.
Ones, the clueless ones.
ones. Hey. All right, let's get back to it, bro. But Moonshine, what they said, corn and apple pie was the one I was thinking of, though, Magic. I think I had apple pie or something like that. That's the one that was at the top of my head. All right, we was at defensive line. I think yeah, I don't know what to make of it, like, from a long-term perspective. I'm not even thinking about Chase or Montez no more, right? I'm thinking about this current unit. Andre Jones, like, he came in for what? I think he came in for a couple plays, too. But I'm going to be interested in seeing, like, KJ's reps. I'm going to be interested in seeing Andre's reps. But just generally, it was kind of a weird day. Even on that play where Stevenson – got the one for 64. It was so weird because I'm like, bro, like, you know how well blocked it had to be for a person who ran a who looked like he was running like a 5.5 40 to house that and only get touched at the end zone. It was right, like, who was that? I think it was DeRon Payne's gap, like, got moved completely out of the gap.
You talking about the rushing touchdown?
Yeah, Stevenson's touchdown. Like, he got placed up out complete, like, moved like 2 yards out of his gap. And
but they were like lined up wide for some reason. And then they wanted the linebackers to kind of do a loop to confuse the center. And Jamin Davis didn't hit his hole hard enough. Okay. So he got washed out the play. Okay. I thought it was a bad defensive play call in general. Like I said, the alignment looked like they were like lined up wide, which essentially gave the Patriots exactly the look that they wanted as they were running inside.
Yeah, you might be right on that one, because I didn't even watch the replay for real. So that's the first one thing.
It was a boring game. Well, that's
hey, I'll say it was one of them plays where you like, damn, oh my god. It was real quiet. It wasn't really much excitement or even just like something that would keep you if you're just an observer. Like, you're like, all right, bro, let me find another game type shit. I get it. I don't disagree. But what else are we missing from this day? Like, it's one thing to complain about the refs. The refs were bad. I don't disagree with anybody that's saying that in the chat. Like, that's clearly something. But another thing I'm thinking about, Washington plays Seattle next week, right? Do they have any receiving style backs, like, that could be shifty or something like that? I mean, I know they're running backs, right? But I don't know, like, in terms of receiving style, I don't know who they have back there. And the reason why I asked that is because, like, that second half, for whatever reason, I know the reason, but for however way they found this mismatch, they were picking apart Jamin Davis with choice routes, Texas routes, wheel routes on the sideline. And you mentioned Mac Jones already. So, like, we know, Matt, if you had a better quarterback today in terms of ball placement, like, you probably see Jamin Davis give up, like, at least close to 70, 75, maybe even 100 yards on the day in the air. But, like, I can't imagine Seattle not looking at this game and seeing if they can isolate Jamin Davis with one of their best receiving backs.
Yeah, I mean, I think for any opposing offense going against this defense, you look at three of their main – well, four main weaknesses. One is the linebacker play overall. So you feel like you can attack them in the running game, and you can definitely attack them in the passing game, especially if you flank your wide receiver out to line up with the rest of the wide receivers. Then on top of that, you now have no pass rush, really no pressure, because Jack Del Rio is going to continue to just send four. So if you stop Allen and Payne, pretty much no one's going to get home to your quarterback in a timely fashion. Then you got Emmanuel Forbes, who now they're bringing back into the fold to be a primary usage high snap cornerback. If you line up in three wide receiver sets, you're pretty much going to see him. I don't really even think I seen Danny Johnson today. I seen more so because of the Patriots playing a lot of two tight end fronts. I seen a lot of Kaliki Hudson, which was a mismatch on that Hunter touchdown. He's like, Kaliki's probably like 5'11". Hunter's like 6'6". So next week, you know, when they go against Seattle, they'll be able to attack the passing game with Jackson Smith, Ejigba, Tyler Lockett, and DK Metcalf. I mean, they had a rough game today against Baltimore, but Baltimore is one of those teams where they're Super Bowl contenders. They got a crazy defense, a beautiful scheme that everyone is kind of playing with each other, and that offense is firing. But Seattle is no slouch. You know, today their loss against Baltimore makes them 6-3. But I expect them to attack Jamin Davis next week as well. Even if Walker or the kid they drafted out of UCLA, Zach Charbonnet.
I know you're talking about, but yeah.
Like, I still expect them to use their running backs and their tight ends in their passing game heavily next week. But, yeah, that's what teams are just going to do whenever Jamin Davis is going to be on the field. And it's crazy because that's one of his strengths is being a pass coverage backer. But I think he's just overthinking the process at this point. If you have a running back that you're going against, they either going to go inside or stay outside. It's not really that hard. It's just more so you got to study your film and know what they're going to do. But, yeah, the defense is there, man. Like we said, they got no pressure. Linebacker play is still poor. Secondary play is still – you know, poor.
Or you know what? Let me stop because I would rather. This is probably going to be one of the weeks. I didn't do it in 2 weeks. It's probably going to be one of the weeks where I actually look at the defense. So let me start. I look, but I do think
film study.
It probably was some holes out there that just. I mean, honestly, even some of the passes that Mac threw today. Like, think about the So Kendall Fuller and Emmanuel Forbes were downfield deep and the receiver got behind him. And it went straight to his hands and he dropped it. I don't know from a coverage standpoint, because I know they do match coverages. So usually if you have Kendall, you have two cornerbacks on one receiver, odds are one of them was probably, they switched off and passed off their route and became the single high. I'm going to assume that it was Kendall Fuller who was the single high. Point being, to that point, even on that switch off, he still got behind them. And that was a missed opportunity in terms of what you were mentioning with the secondary. Probably a couple plays here and there. I mean, also that's football, but it's also something where, like, technically it's football. It's something that happens a little bit too often with this defense. And maybe they got a pass today, which is just one of those days you need it.
One of those days, man. So
okay. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what that secondary looks like. What do you think Forrest's workload is going to look like against the Seahawks? Because, I mean, you have DK, Tyler, and Jackson, right? But behind them is even still, Jackson's having a quiet year. Not to say he's a bad receiver, but he's having a quiet rookie year. So it's like you probably could afford to put him out there, Emmanuel.
I mean, you got to play him. Like, at this point, yeah. There's no benefit of sitting him on the bench. He has to play. I just think that it's interesting how they decided specifically within their schedule, this is the week that we're going to overload Emmanuel Forbes back into the fold. I mean, it's a great week to do so, but either way, you can't hide him. You feel me?
Like, it's impossible if he's on the field.
Either you're going to have to play him or not. He almost had an interception if Rager didn't fight back for that ball. I also seen him get active within the tackling game, like rushing or whatever. It was good to see Quan Martin get that interception for himself, build up his confidence, and get himself around the ball. That was huge. But overall, man, you got to play these young guys and see what what you can make out of your draft picks. You took them. You feel me? Like, I would have loved to see Andre Jones get more snaps. KJ Henry, a.k.a. Stuntman. That sack actually came on a stunt with freedom. But aside from that, man, like, you got to play some of these younger guys and see what you got. Even the same thing with Hudson. You got to play him and see, okay, is he going to be someone that can actually contribute within helping with this passing game when we go against, you know, 13 personnel? Like, I want to see Jabril Cox. I want to see everybody at this rate. Like, I'm so confused by some of the roster things. Like, you elevate guys from practice squad and sign them to the active roster, but then you make them inactive game day. It's like, what the hell is going on here?
Jabril, like, wasn't on special teams? You ain't seen him on special teams?
I don't even know what number that man wear. Like,
that's wild as shit, because that was my next question. Like,
I don't think I've seen Jabril on the field at all. I don't know. Like, but I have no clue what that.
Let me look at his roster number.
I don't know what he looks like in real life. but yeah, like, I didn't. I just paid attention to the rookie class in particular, like how many snaps they got. Chris Rodriguez got no offensive snaps. He made a tackle on special.
41.
But yeah, I would have wanted to see Jabril Cox go against, you know, some of these tight end looks with Mike Gesicki and Hunter Henry. But either way, man, it's just now like the youth movement. You just see how the rest of the season plays out. But I think the offense did a solid enough job, great game plan. And, you know, thankful for me, I didn't have to buy anybody a Sam Howell jersey. So,
hey, you know what's funny? I was looking at my God, what's the dude name? Sean, bro.
Chef Sean, yeah, No Carter.
Yeah, he just sent a letter. He said, But he said, my sentence is AJ should still give away something. Hey, I was like that. But here's my thought though. I was like, bro, like, he got 320. No, I said, at the time he had 295. So he had 295 for a little while. But I was like, damn, what if he get down the field, bro, and he go two touchdowns? Because he already threw the pick at that point. But I was like, what if he go two touchdowns, go for 320, and they get the dub? Like, that don't count for nothing, bro.
I might have thought about it, but everything went out the window with that interception. Like, from the fact that an interception taking place and where it happened and how it happened, was like, what in the world?
You know what's so funny? Because, like, what if that could have been the one? That could have been the first of the two touchdowns on the day.
I was starting to get a little nervous. So I was like, dang, should I go look up fanatics.com? How much is jersey on run? But
hey, that'd be hilarious. See
if I
got
some promo codes in my email. But
So if he went, if he had finished the day with 330, three touchdowns in that one pick, would you have done a giveaway?
I might have thought about it, but we'll run it back. We'll run it back Thanksgiving.
That's a good time.
When they play,
that's a good time. Yeah, that's gonna be a really good. That's gonna be really
hopefully,
good.
Hopefully, if he does accomplish that feat, whatever it is, when we run it back Thanksgiving, Black Friday, the Sam Howell number 14 Commanders jersey will be on sale for like $40. Maybe I could cop it at TJ Maxx or Marshalls within the area.
Hey man, price might go up a little bit, bro, because you know that man John Allen on the post game talking about, I feel like we found our quarterback for the next 5 to 10 years, and he truly believed it.
Yeah,
quote unquote. You know what I'm saying?
Cool story, bro. that's one of my more famous and favorite sayings. Cool story, bro. Like,
but to add though, a person on offense, and this is why, like, its perspective is so crazy. Because I appreciate what Charles Leno said, even out the midst of a win where your emotions are gonna be like so high up, like John Allen. Charles says that it takes time to fully determine if a young quarterback can be that guy for the long term. Charles Leno. But he said he and others like what they've seen from how, specifically his leadership and his calm demeanor in the pocket. So, like, the variation in terms of opinions, but also just understanding that even people on offense who know him and spend time with him know that it's going to take some time. So I think that's the most important thing.
Because you got to think, like, the sacks have kind of, like, slowed down as far as, like, huge numbers in some essence, but there's still sacks that are being had, right? For offensive linemen, their view on Sam Howell is much different than how a Jonathan Allen may look at it. Because, really, Howell taking those sacks hurts their future as far as finances. Because a lot of people aren't really going to go and get down to the nitty-gritty of how many sacks were allowed by the specific player, but just the tally alone is kind of like, oh, you're a part of that unit that gave up the second most sacks in the league in comparison to the numbers that David Carr put up with the Texans. So it's like, if you're doing your job, it's kind of hard for you to get the blame. Like, everyone's been like shitting on the offensive line, and they've been providing him solid enough pockets. Like, they're not the greatest.
It's gotten really good the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, they're not the greatest by any means, but Sam got to also help those boys out. We've seen the center get demoted, whether that be on him not picking up protections or not, but we've seen him get demoted. He was a free agent signing. So when you're a Charles Leno, you know, you kind of like, the writing's on the wall for my future possibly being on this team next year. I'm going to just keep it real and raw. Like, I ain't about to go out on a limb and say, yeah, he that dude. Like, he the future quarterback. Like, they did the same thing with Taylor Heineke. Like, nah.
Oh, John, for sure. That's the funny thing. John is crazy
for Leno to say, because he's never played with an elite quarterback in his entire NFL career. So it's like, he don't even know what that looked like from an NFL experience. Like, as far as playing with someone or having that guy.
Yeah, I'm thinking. But, you know, he's played against Aaron Rodgers. He's seen Aaron
two times a year. Like, he's played with the Chicago Bears. So he had Justin Fields. And who else was the quarterback before Justin?
Mitch Trubisky.
Like, come on, dog.
All right. So I do agree with this part, Will, much better since Gates is benched. I think that was kind of the biggest tale. Like, I think who shed some light into this? I think it was Ron Rivera, some point after the Philly game, where he mentioned specifically Tyler Larson was getting the offense in the right protections. So I think that kind of indicates who was actually responsible for making the right calls on a down in and down out basis for pass protection, at least. Throughout the first 8 weeks of the season. So for Nick Gates, seeing the difference after a 2 week period, is honestly drastic. It was a drastic difference. And Chris Paul got the start again today. I don't know if that's going to be permanent moving forward or do we know how long Sadiq Charles is out? Do we know?
He ain't get put on IR.
I don't know. I would assume so. Right, let me check.
I don't know. I know Ricky Stromberg, I think, got put on IR, but
Deep Charles injury.
I mean, yeah, the change at center has been drastic because you now have a guy that's smart enough to be able to help out Sam with sliding protections and identifying the blitzer. But it's like, you already had this guy on your roster, and then you went and drafted a center. So it's like, what are we doing here? And I wanted to read that Nikki, however you say her last name, article.
Zavala?
Yeah, for the Washington Post, but I'm not paying for the Washington Post, even if it's a dollar. So
yeah, I ain't gonna lie to you. I'm in the same boat.
I was hoping under the thread someone was gonna grab some parts of the article. But yeah, like, it's just poor roster management overall. I don't know how deep of a dive she went and breaking it down, but it's just confusing overall with what's happening, because it's like, if Tyler Larson can step in and you can move on from Gates, I guess you could say not even by circumstance, what happened? Like, Gates just got dogged against the Giants, where it made it obvious, oh, we need to move on. I don't really know what happened there, but either way, you can't be signing guys in free agency and then having to bench them, what, 6-7 weeks into the season, and use a guy that you already had on your roster, and then you use your third round pick for a center. So it's like, hey, I get it, bro. Like,
well, look though, here's the bottom line. There ain't no more dealing with that after this season. So I am perfectly fine.
Oh, no.
I need to find a way to read this article because
there are still things that Ron Rivera could possibly get a front office job within the Washington Commanders.
Hey, AJ. AJ, who are we trying to argue against? Because if those people believe that, like, all right, cool. Well, I got let me sell you some land. Like, all right, I know Pena, Cesar Pena, you know what I'm saying? I can get you plugged in, you know what I'm saying? But look, one sentence takeaway. Everybody, we're gonna close out with that. Everybody in the chat, if you all got a one sentence takeaway, let's go ahead and leave your marks right there. And let us know what those are. I'm gonna read some from Twitter, and then we can get into ours. Where's the one sentence takeaways? Ken Johansson, Burgundy Burner, Sam Howe is not a quitter, and he is definitely a winner. TBZ Money Mike could tell the difference between Chase and Montez / Two Hill and JSW, but defense as a whole stepped up when needed. Disco says Mac Jones is terrible. Rio, good man Rio said, thank God we played Mac Jones. Amani said, did we have a sack today? Asking for a friend. And then let's go ahead and do a couple more. Chuck G, heart attack. And let's see. Eternal 5 ENT, the good man. First time watching his one in New England since 1996. That's how you know it's a boring game, when they give you a stat. First time watching his one in New England since 1996. Don't nobody care about nothing else with this mob except for that. Okay. I'll go first. Let's see, because I didn't even think too much about this one. Whoo. Fuck it. Shout out to Sam Howell, bro. Shout out to Sam. I'm going to leave it there.
Dang, one sentence takeaway. I'll probably say, thank God.
Ron finally threw a shot. My bad, I stepped on it.
Yeah, I really couldn't think of anything else, but thank God it's over.
All right, man. There it is. Magic says Sam is second in the league with passing yards at 2471. Number one is Tua, and then number three is Pat Mahomes at 2442. All right, we're gonna close it out there, man. Appreciate everybody who tuned in live, man. We will catch you all Tuesday for the aftermath. Dre should be on then. He has some things going on with his fam, so he'll be back on Tuesday. We'll get to talk about it then with him. We should have a guest on as well. I think I've been saying that for the last couple episodes, but I've been actively talking to the guy, just been missing some time. So hopefully we get him on Tuesday or this Thursday. But that's gonna wrap it up for us, man. Enjoy the rest of y'all Sunday, man. It's a good game on with the new with the Philly and Dallas teams playing. So let's go ahead and tap in with them. AJ, I'll catch you in a couple days. We up out of here, man. Peace.
Sir.
Damn, Seth, watch him throw the ball. We gon' pick it off. You gon' let him hit the hole or you gon' cut it off. You gon' play through fourth and long or you gon' punt it off. Your defenders, heavy hitters, put your pads in. Don't be looking for the ref to throw no flags in. Keep the helmet on, keep the cleats tight. You the type to want to win by any means, right? You should look alive. This is Trap or Dive.